Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. This is the Uptown Motors Green and Gold Postgame Show. Uptown begins with you, the official auto dealership of Leroy Butler. Go to UptownMotors.com. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Well, we didn't see Aaron Rodgers. We didn't see many starters. We saw a field that was craptastic. We saw the stands relatively empty. But for the most part, we should see a Green Bay, barring any kind of a crazy finish, we should see a Green Bay Packers win 21-19 with a couple of minutes to go in the ball game. It's the Uptown Motors Green and Gold Post Game Show. I'm Bill Michaels alongside former Badger and Packer running back Gary Ellerson. So nothing new here, Gary, when it comes to what we did or didn't know. We didn't expect really Aaron Rodgers to play in this one. I think it's been confirmed he's not playing in the fourth game of the preseason. So I guess a couple of things. We can start with the field conditions, but then we can get into the fact that he is not going to see any preseason snaps and no real snaps, so to speak, prior to Chicago, which comes up in 2 weeks from tonight.
Well, just for me, being a former player, Bill, just embarrassing. Embarrassing, the NFL making all this kind of money, a gazillion dollar industry, and we can't get anybody down to Winnipeg or up to Winnipeg and check out the game field conditions and get all this stuff sorted out before we get these two teams here. And then we got to go through all this rigmarole about whether we're going to play guys or not. I had already heard, which I talked about on our show, the big show earlier last week, that I had already got information that Aaron Rodgers probably will not play in this game because they were already afraid of what the field condition was going to be like. I mean, I think you have this turf. It's been in place since about 2003. You got to tell me that there is no high school or college stadium in the state of California that's not better than this. I get we want to be worldwide. I get all that. Canada already has a professional sports team. It's not like they really need it. It's supposed to be about player safety.
Right.
They send all the former players now. We got to go do a concussion test. I did mine last year over at Freighter, and I tell you what, those guys did a great job mm-hmm. over there with me. You know, passed it, but we got to do one like every year just to make sure everything works out. You got to tell me that they really care about us. They don't. The NFL right. showed us tonight that they don't really care about the players. They kind of care about themselves. These guys make a lot of money. You mean tell me that they could not send a crew to Winnipeg to check all this stuff out instead of us going? And listen, the Green Bay Packers and the Oakland Raiders already knew about this. Like, there were going to be problems before they went down there.
Right.
They already knew about it. You can't tell me the NFL don't have enough money to send guys down there to scout the goalposts before they get there to know or to not even know that this surface wasn't conducive of the best players. It's just embarrassing. I mean, it just really is. I just don't get it. I don't understand it.
Well, hell, and UNLV it's just has crazy. If they're going to Vegas, UNLV has a stadium.
Play at UNLV.
They should have played at UNLV.
It's open. Nobody's there. But, Bill, if they wanted to, how about this? If you wanted a feel-good story, go play at Cal Berkeley. Isn't that where Rodgers went to school
at? Cal Berkeley.
Go play there.
Yeah.
That's right down the road yep. from Oakland.
Yep. Yep. Completely agree.
Go play there. State of our stadium.
It's
open tonight.
They
if you wanted a
up.
Feel-good story,
right.
if you wanted to bring Oakland, if you wanted to bring the Raiders, go play at Cal Berkeley.
Yeah.
You're kidding me?
This it started out as, and I was listening to Kevin Harlan before the game. He says, normally we come in with about 10 things to talk about, and we're scripted, and he says, and then we find out minutes before the game. that this is suddenly a problem.
Well, they knew it was going. They knew it was going to be a problem.
Right.
That's why you got the heads up already that Aaron Rodgers was going to be a game time decision.
Yeah.
I mean, you got that. We got that what 2 days ago.
We knew it. We got that a while ago. Yeah.
We knew. So the Packers already knew. The Raiders had already committed, even before 2 days ago, that they were going to play their second line players.
That is the lead story in all of this, without a doubt. I think secondary to that is the night that Tim Boyle had. We can talk about his night. Obviously, Trevor Davis comes in and knows he needed a big night, and he gave it to you. Shepard comes in, gives you a big night. Jake Kumerow, a couple of catches, 20 yards and a touchdown. He needed a solid night. I mean, I think he's solidified for a spot on this team anyway, but he needed a solid night. The defense needed to play pretty well, albeit, you know, it wasn't a terrific night when it came to the tackling department, but for the most part, they were actually pretty good. Rashawn Gary left with an injury. Equanimeous St. Brown leaves with an injury.
Have they talked about St. Brown yet? Have you heard?
No, I have not.
Because that knee did not look good the way it was bent back on
right.
the carpet.
So that was a.
It looked more like Clay. What's that basketball player for the Golden State Warriors?
Clay Thompson.
That's what it looked like.
Yep. So
end up in ACL.
You hope not, but you know what you're going to get is it's a knee sprain. They always say it's a knee sprain
first,
and when he gets back to Green Bay, they'll do an MRI. And
we'll just pray and hope that's what it is.
Which we'll hope it's a knee sprain, right. But usually, I mean, by now they know.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, when you walk into the locker room, they'll say, well, we'll do the MRI to confirm what we know. But they know.
Yeah.
They know what's going on. So you hope that Equanimeous St. Brown is okay. You're hoping for the best, but certainly anticipating the worst. But the Packers with just over a minute to play, 21-19 in this one. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Feel free to chime in and want to get your reaction to all of this as the Green Bay Packers at least look at this point to be winners. We'll wait and see for the outcome.
I think Oakland's going to probably try to kick a field goal here, Bill.
And if they do, then they would win the ball game.
There's about 57 seconds left to go in the game. They may be. And here's another thing. How are you playing 80 yards, man?
That's the other thing. I mean,
come on, y'all.
Which, you know what really is mind-boggling? They had to move both goalposts.
Yes.
So why was one end so screwed up and the other end wasn't?
Right.
You know what I mean? It just, that's bizarre.
Blows my mind. This make you look like a Bush League. What you doing with the money? I mean, what we're playing Roger? Well, how much are we paying Roger? Is that $50 million? Is that about what he's making? Is he making about $50 million per year?
No, it's less than that.
You sure it's less than that?
It's a ton of money.
Oh, geez, 25. Let me have it.
Yeah.
Well, he's making at least $30 million. Because I think each team put in $1 million.
Right.
So the Joker's making at least $30 million. You tell me that this is not a $30 million mistake.
This year, Aaron Rodgers will make 26.5.
No, not Roger Goodell.
Oh, Roger Goodell.
Yeah, how much that Joker make?
Oh, that cat's making 30, 40 million. Yeah. Maybe 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he making 50? I think he's making 50 million.
They never revealed the total amount.
Right. He's making, because I know he got at least $1 million from each team.
Yeah. No, and I thought
and for
you were,
him, yeah, I'm going to put this on him. For him to make this decision to have these guys play down there is absolutely crazy.
Yeah. I thought you meant Aaron Rodgers.
No, Roger Goodell.
I didn't know you meant Roger. Oh, Roger Goodell's making, I don't know what the exact amount is that's been disclosed, but I know it's over 30. I was like, because Bud Selig
just
at the time when he retired, Bud Selig was making like 30-something million, if I'm not mistaken. And Roger Goodell made that look like chump change.
The last time it was made public, 2015, $31.7 million.
And I thought that he got a substantial raise. Yeah, I think he got a deal that's upwards of about $7 to $10 million a year. So, yeah, he's probably around a $40 million mark a year.
And you mean tell me he could have paid for a crew way less than $1 million go get an airplane flight and go get these
once
guys.
They decided to play this game there, why wasn't somebody there?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
You know, I don't understand. You know, it took you a while to get the deal done anyway. Remember we were the Packers now are trailing as time is winding down. And the Packers now trailing
22-21.
Yeah, 22-21 with eight seconds to go.
Yeah.
So unless somebody really steps up in these special teams, the Packers will actually take a loss tonight, which will be their second consecutive and second of the preseason. But that, again, that's a side note to all of this, as you just can't figure out why this has been so poorly handled by the NFL. And again, we're talking about a Packers team that, you know, remember when they went to the Hall of Fame game and the field was terrible?
Yeah, it was nasty.
They couldn't play that game.
Right, and they messed that up.
Yeah. So this is another kind of a, I don't want to say substantial black eye, but this is not good.
It is.
You know, this is not the lights going out in the Super Bowl bad.
No,
but
it tells you about, they preach player safety. That's what this tells you.
Yeah.
More than anything else, Bill.
855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do so. 855-830-8648. You can hit Gary up on Twitter at Gary Ellerson, or you can hit me up at Bill_Michaels. Over on Twitter, you can always get a hold of us the old-fashioned way. That's Bill Michaels at BillMichaelsSports.com. You can drop me a line there, and we can get your email on the air. Plenty of ways to be a part of the program. Thanks for you listening on the app, the Radio.com app. I'm sure you got the alert as we were getting ready to go on the air as well. If you favorite us, please go ahead and do so. If you didn't, go ahead and do it now. And that way, every post-game show, it'll pop right up. You'll hear your phone buzz or blink or whatever it happens to do. And it'll let you know that Gary and I are about ready to come on the air and break down the Green Bay Packers and whomever their opponent may be as they get ready for the regular season. One preseason game left. They're going to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. That is next Thursday night at Lambeau Field. And that is a game in which we've already heard that Aaron Rodgers will not play in. If you heard John Kuhn interviewing Aaron Rodgers on the sidelines, the assumption was, Aaron, you will not play next week. So will you be okay not taking a preseason snap? And Aaron didn't say, no, wait a minute, I will play, or that's going to be a game-time decision. He said, no, I'll be just fine without, you know, getting any preseason snaps, basically confirming what the question was. So now the game has become official, 22-21. That is the final. The Packers take it on the chin. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back. The Uptown Motors Green and Gold post-game show continues on with Gary Ellerson. I'm Bill Michaels. We have more right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Looking left, now right, now end zone, touchdown!
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me right now?
Are you kidding me with this?
It's time for the Are You Kidding Me moment of the game. Brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing. Celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
Welcome back. The Packers knocked off by the Oakland Raiders in a last couple of seconds field goal, 22-21, the final. Carlson hits a 33-yarder. It's good, splits the uprights, and that's the way things end. Welcome back. It's the Uptown Motors Green and Gold postgame show. I'm Bill Michaels alongside the former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson. And the Are You Kidding Me moment of the game, we can start right from the damn beginning. Are you kidding me? They couldn't figure out this carpet situation. Are you kidding me? And the fact that Aaron Rodgers and not able to play because of the, we'll call it, treacherous situations when they took the field and realized that the carpet had been around for quite some time. Now this is interesting because, again, you have, and I know people pay attention to it. Sometimes I think it's overblown. In this particular case, it certainly sounds relatively warranted, but you've got the coach and the quarterback stating vastly different things. Here's Matt LaFleur when asked about, the carpet situation in that stadium.
Your guys did a phenomenal job adjusting to the 10-yard line being the end zone and a little bit of slippage out there, but what have the guys said about the field so far?
No, the guys haven't said anything about the field. It is what it is. It's fair for both teams, and we're making the best of it. But it's really not a non-issue to me.
So it's a non-issue. It's so much of a non-issue that you're not playing your starters. No, come on. This is okay. We adjusted. It's no big deal. But I'm not playing anybody. So there you have it. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers says, come on, man. This field sucks.
Aaron, just let us know. How's the back? How's the body? Put some relief to Packer Nation here.
About what? Why I'm not playing? It's nothing to do with the back. I can promise you that. It's more the field conditions that we had tonight.
So what's interesting about Aaron Rodgers' comments is twofold. One is he just says John Kuhn is not looking for the reason he's not playing tonight. John Kuhn is looking for Aaron to basically tell Packer Nation, hey, my back's fine. No worries. I'm going to be good for the regular season. I'm good to go. Aaron doesn't even take that.
No.
Aaron takes the first opportunity he gets to go, what? Why, I'm not playing? No, it's not because of my back. This field sucks.
So, and Aaron's always going to tell you what Aaron thinks, no matter what somebody
says. That's exactly right.
Or after him. He's always going. And he probably felt a little bit more indebted to say the truth because John Kuhn was his teammate.
Right.
And that's why you got John Kuhn there, because you want those players that are in that locker room right now to feel that they can go and talk to John Kuhn and just give up the information. And that's kind of what happened. Aaron Rodgers does it anyway, but most certainly Rodgers felt comfortable enough to saying, dude, this field messed up. But the Packers had already, well, I'm not saying who's saying, but to me, we already knew, well, I already knew that that's what was going down with the surface in Winnipeg even before they went there with Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you didn't see Aaron Jones. I mean, you knew what was going down.
Right.
And then really, for the most part, you saw the Raiders. They ain't playing any of their players either.
Yep. They looked at this and said, nope, not going to happen.
Bill. You got, like I say, you got Cal Berkeley right down the street, man.
St. Louis Packer fan tweets and says, takeaways from tonight's Packers game. One, there are high school fields in better shape than that one. Two, Nathan Peterman is the man, so we knew he would be, and it would be tough. So there you go.
Are you watching Hard Knocks, big guy?
I am.
Isn't it funny?
I said this the other day.
It's one of the best ones.
There's a lot of stuff in there that you look at and you kind of find comical, and I do.
Yeah.
Okay. The one that actually made me laugh out loud was the game. It might have been against the Rams, and every other word out of Gruden's mouth was an F bomb.
Oh, yes. But that's Gruden, though.
And yeah, but Gruden's like, you know, F this and F that. Yeah. And then he turns around and goes, I need to quit effing swearing.
Yeah.
You know, just, oh my God, I can't believe I hear myself. Yeah. And then right away, it's like, are you effing kidding me? You know? So that was funny, but I got to admit, I've met John Gruden, and when I did some stuff with the Packers, when him and Mike Tirico were doing Monday Night Football, I really enjoyed getting to know John.
Yeah.
Okay? But then watching him on television and listening to him, I couldn't take it. It's this guy's a football player because he's football. He's just, you know, he was verbally giving the slob to everybody, you know? It was like, come on, man. You're a head coach. Bring something to it. You know, analyze. Be a hard ass. And then you go back and put him in this coach's role, and I'm kind of like, well, this guy's going to fail. He wanted all the money. He's screwing everybody over. He's just going, you know. But I'm watching him work the families, the girlfriends, the kids. I'm listening to him, you know, kind of joking with his guys, and he's like, ha, 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 ha. But I don't play that crap, and I'm the head coach. You know, I mean, it's kind of, he's kind of like, yeah, you guys joke all you want, but don't forget who's in charge.
Right.
You know, and he kind of wraps his, and then all of a sudden the guy's like, hey, coach, no, we know, yeah, hey, you know. I've gained a new respect for John Gruden.
Yeah.
If that's.
Yeah, I mean.
Insight's been pretty cool.
To me, I already knew that that's who he was. It was all there. But I think when you go and take, to me, the big poignant moment for me is when he's walking out the field. It's just his last one, if you saw it or not. But he's walking on the field with Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
He's pretty much telling Antonio Brown, here's the deal. You know, we know you're a world brand, and we know you got to take. But just, dude, when you come on the football field, let's play some football.
Right.
And then Antonio was saying, hey, thank you for supporting me. And he was.
Yeah.
Thank you for being behind me, blah, 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 all this, that, and the other. And then Antonio Brown leaves at the end of the camp. I mean, it's just straight craziness. But you can see how John Gruden, I think, is a pretty good coach. Folks think that he should win more than he does. But folks don't understand how tough it is to win in the NFL, how tough it is to win. I mean, look at Andy Reid, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows if he's going to win a Super Bowl with Mahomes?
Right.
He ain't won one yet.
But I will say this. Look at this. He hasn't won the Super Bowl yet, but look at the successes he's had.
Well, he's had no more success. Mike McCarthy's had more success than him.
I agree. But which
Truth
is hard to
told.
Do.
Yeah.
Longevity is hard to do.
Truth be
what
told.
I appreciated about Andy Reid was last year when they said, okay, Mahomes, you're our dude. They traded Alex Smith.
Sure, yeah.
As a matter of fact,
they knew it.
This was Patrick Mahomes was on Radio Row. We were in Minneapolis. Patrick Mahomes, Booker, comes to us and says, hey, Patrick would like to come on the show. Now, we're sitting with all the CBS guys. Said, okay, great. Patrick sits down, and word breaks. They've traded Alex Smith. He had no idea.
Oh, yes. No, he didn't.
He learned on our show. Yeah. And we sat there and talked to him, and he was just a straightforward cat. You know, and he said, well, you know, Coach Reed's talked to me about this, this, and this. And then to watch Andy Reid work with him on the sidelines. I mean, the game's going on.
Right.
Andy and him are sitting on the thing. Andy's got his arm around him talking about the negatives. You could see him after an interception going, okay, what'd you see, you know. And there was no screaming, no yelling, no. It was very much almost maybe a father figure type of situation. Then they interviewed Patrick Mahomes' mother, who said Andy sat down and said, let's, you know, I'm going to sink or swim with you.
Right.
I got to believe in you. You got to believe in me. Mm-hmm. It's just to watch Andy work the way he did.
Yes.
I appreciate, even though he doesn't have a ring, I appreciated Andy Reid, the coach, a whole lot more going through all of that, watching that. And I'm appreciating John Gruden a lot more right now. But I will say this, Richie Incognito's a nut too.
Yeah, well, of course.
That guy's bat crap crazy.
But, but John Gruden is what? Typical right away. Al Davis would love the players. Because nobody wanted to touch Antonio Brown, dude.
Right.
Nobody wanted him but the Raiders.
Right.
But that's an Al Davis move. Incognito, that's an Al Davis move.
Yep.
That's all that is.
Yep. No doubt about it.
I'm in the nightmares. You guys with me on that?
Yep. He that was a great speech in which he's talking about, you know, hey, people want to live the dream. I'm not into that. I'm into nightmares.
Yeah.
I want to create nightmares. Which is a brilliant statement. It's right up there when who was it? Jeff Fisher, when he was still with the Rams, when he said, this is the way you do things, and that's 7-9 blank. That's that kind of quote that comes out of Hard Knocks that you kind of go, okay, that'll live in infamy, man.
That is 7-9.
That's what it was. That's what got him fired.
That's why you no longer have a job.
That's right. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. 22-21, the final on a late quarter. As a matter of fact, 8 seconds to go in the ballgame. Carlson, 33-yard field goal by the Raiders, and they knock off the Packers in the third preseason game. Packers fall 22-21, but the story's been more so the field than anything. Gary Ellison alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. Chime in, 855-830-8648. Packers fans, where are you at? 855-830-8648. I want to talk about it. What you saw positive, what you saw negative, who just got themselves on or off of this squad. Give us a shout. We got a lot more coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Sometimes you gotta stick. And sometimes you gotta hit. Let's find out the hit of the game. Brought to you by the Boilermakers Local 107. Building and rebuilding America for over 225 years. Check out their apprenticeship opportunities at Boilermakers107.com.
Well, the Packers took it on the chin tonight. They get knocked off 22-21 on a 33-yard field goal with about 12 seconds to go in the ball game. Carlson splits the uprights. That gives the Raiders the win, but really the story, more so than anything, has been the field conditions. I'm Bill Michaels. It's the Uptown Motors Green and Gold postgame show. Gary Ellison, the former Badger and Packer, running back alongside. And before we go any further, time now for the hit of the game. And Trevor Davis gets a 23-yard pass from Boyle. Take a listen.
Boyle is 3-of-3 on this drive, third down and three. Boyle, and he's going to the end zone and caught. That's a touchdown flag thrown, Trevor Davis with the grab. My goodness, as he played well tonight.
There you go. That's it. Trevor Davis had a big night, as a matter of fact.
Well, he had to bring it, Bill.
Yeah, he had to. Targeted six times, five catches, 78 yards, had a touchdown, had a 20-yarder, which was one of his longer ones, but that 23-yard touchdown pass from Tim Boyle, that was the bigger one of the night for him. So Trevor Davis makes a name for himself, sure enough, and that is our hit of the game brought to you by the Boilermakers Local 107, building and rebuilding America for over 225 years. You can check out their apprenticeship opportunities. Go to Boilermakers107.com. That is Boilermakers107.com. So as much as we're talking, Gary, about you know the field conditions and such with whom didn't play, got a tweet here from Kevin who says, NFL, our CFL team will need to play on this field for the rest of the season, hopefully not longer. And the Raiders and Packers non-roster players can't even play on one for one game when the tickets were $100 to $450. Hashtag disrespectful, hashtag used, hashtag make things right. So fans that were hoping to see this third preseason game and see the starters say, hey, look, our CFL team plays here. It's okay for them. Why is it not okay for you?
Because it's the best players in the world.
You know? But I understand the fans' point of view. I'm living in Canada, and you're telling me here comes Aaron Rodgers. I'm going out and spending the money on tickets, and Aaron won't play because there's holes in the field.
And because if you look, well, shouldn't say all of them, but I think if you look at the majority of facilities in the NFL, they're better than facilities in Canada. Now, you do have back in the day when Philly had the
oh, it was terrible.
That was horrible.
Yeah.
The Minnesota Vikings when they played in Metrodome was horrible. We had Jesse Clark was our fullback. They had a piece that was over the pitching mound.
Would come up.
Yeah,
Big seams in it too.
It had a big seam in it, so they put a cover over it, and there were seams going, all the way around it. Jesse Clark's elbow landed in between one of the seams, and the seams were covered with turf, but underneath it was a steel plate.
Yeah.
His elbow hit in between the steel plates. Blood is skeeting out all over the place. You can see the bone in his elbow. They rushed him into the locker room. Shoot him up with some IVs, sew him back up. He came back at halftime and played, but that was an awful surface, and that was back a long time ago. But, yeah, I mean, are there some bad – I'm just trying to think of bad – yet the Raiders, actually, home field, when they have the regular – when they have the infield is pretty bad. Milwaukee County here, when I played, was pretty bad. But I think nowadays, I don't know – what NFL state other than the Raiders that is? Can you think of any other that is awful? Joe, you?
No,
I mean, really can't.
No, even Buffalo upgraded that crap.
Buffalo
field.
Upgraded that.
Yeah,
Miami back in the day.
Miami in the day, but Joe Robbie's great now because
Joe Robbie's
awesome.
Yeah,
it's a single
stadium.
Well,
Joe Robbie. I forget what they call it now.
But it went from Joe Robbie to Pro Player.
I was just there a couple years
Shark.
Ago when the Badgers played. That's
where
stadium.
Super Bowl is this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice stadium. You go to Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah, you always do. Might go this year.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, Miami. Yeah. Now, Rashawn Gary, going back to his injury, we'll get to the phone calls.
Well, he had a head injury, I think,
the
right?
first one, he ended up having like a lower leg injury, and he came back. He had a tackle. And then he got mixed up in the scrum where he ended up getting like a head and or slash neck injury. Now, he was carted off the field, but before he went into the tunnel, he did get up. He didn't go in on the cart. He walked into the tunnel. But you would assume now, at least assume, that he's either in concussion protocol or something. Now, RG Sports, which is Rashawn Gary's agency, his representative, said, quote, he is fine and doing well.
Good.
So.
Nice to hear.
Yeah, so we'll see.
St. Brown, on the other hand, was seen walking out on crutches with a boot on his left ankle.
That's better news because if it was the knee.
Yeah.
You know, now, unless, of course, he's got a torn Achilles or something like that, but if it would have been a knee, then obviously that's surgery. Let's do this. Let's go to Ryan listening to us in Oak Creek. Ryan, welcome to the Green and Gold Postgame Show. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I wanted to say that I think Tim Boyle should be the backup quarterback over Deshaun Kaiser just because he looks a lot better.
I think he's pretty much solidified himself. We liked him in game one. He just looked like he was more poised in the pocket.
Yeah, he looks a lot better than Kaiser does. I don't know what the heck Kaiser is, but it's like he's like the other guy that we had like 2 years ago. Then another African American quarterback that we had 2 years ago. He looks like
Huntley.
Yeah,
Huntley.
Yeah, they don't know where their head is right in the NFL.
Yep, no doubt. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for the phone call. Give us a shout anytime. So. Deshaun Kaiser, not nearly. Boyle had a bulk of the time, too.
Yeah, you thought he's going to start.
16 to 25, 191 yards. He throws for a couple of touchdowns. Didn't get sacked, by the way, even though he's more of a pocket passer. Quarterback rating of 113.9, and Deshaun Kaiser, 4 of 7, 24 yards, 3 sacks. Now, again, he's playing late in the ballgame with a bunch of guys trying to make the squad. But had a passer rating, had the one pick of 24.4. So not a great day at the office for Deshaun Kaiser. Now, here's the other question. Do they keep three quarterbacks?
Well, they probably could.
You know?
They probably could.
Because you're going to want to keep...
Yeah.
Because you're getting down to the nitty-gritty now when you talk about cuts. So now are you...
Well, it's going to come down to receivers and tight ends.
That's exactly my point. Was it going to be... Are you keeping four tight ends or are you keeping three?
I think Jamon Moore is done. He didn't get in the game to the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
He's way behind.
He knew it last week going into that ball game. So you keep Adams, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Now, if Equanimeous St. Brown's for any length of time, do they go with six, keep Alan Lazard? Because Darius Shepherd, I've liked him too.
I like him a lot.
So, and I don't think you're going to be able to just kind of slide him to the practice squad. Somebody's going to grab him.
I like him a lot.
Bill. So do you cut Jamon Moore? Lazard becomes your sixth, and if you do indeed keep seven, that would be Darius Shepherd.
Right.
And Jamon Moore is then out looking for work. Meanwhile, you got Jimmy Graham, Jay Sternberger. Do you even think about cutting Mercedes Lewis? I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, I think you do.
You do? Mm-hmm. And then keep Tanyan.
Mm-hmm.
So you go with three tight ends.
Yep.
Now, again, this could change because Danny Vitale's been dealing with a bit of an injury. Could Malcolm Johnson or Tommy Bohannon, which I can't imagine either.
Well, they only keep four backs. Four backs.
Right. Anyway. So Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, Dexter Williams, and Danny Vitale?
Yes.
Those are your four. So if you don't keep the extra fullback, depends on what you do with your offensive line because you know it's going to be Bakhtiari, Taylor, Lindsley, Turner, Bulaga, and Cross.
Right.
Elkton Jenkins is playing his butt off.
Right.
Now, you figure you're going to hang on to Cole Madison, fifth-round draft choice last year.
You almost have to.
You have to. So then it comes Justin McCray, Lucas Patrick. Do you keep those two guys and everybody else has been jettisoned?
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah. And then defensively, you're not going to keep maybe two inside backers?
Well, that's just it. You got two inside backers to hang on to. You're going to use a lot more
because
on the outside.
You can bring one of your safeties down in the box.
If you have to. But you're thin back there, too.
Well, if you keep Josh Jones, you're not.
Yeah, but you have Darnell Savage, Raven Green, Josh Jones, and Adrian Amos.
And who's the other draft pick we got from Iowa? Josh Jackson.
Josh Jackson. Well, they got him considered as a corner, but he's more of a safety
he's
slash.
He's another guy that can slide inside.
But he's not a guy that's ever going to be a turn and go on the outside. No, he's a guy he's that merely is a slide guy,
So you got enough backers in the new NFL.
Middle backers, you can also find somebody off of somebody else's scrap.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The middle backers, you have enough. Like, if you're going to keep Josh Jones, he can play middle backer. If you're going to keep Josh Jackson, he can play middle backer. You'd really only need two backers there.
Mm-hmm.
And then sub with those two guys if that's what you choose to do. Or you bring down Amos into the box for those guys. You can do that as well.
Let's do this. Let's go back to the phone calls real quick. Who is that? Is that Kane? Kane. Kane is on. That's what I thought it said. Kane is on the line.
Kane, Bill.
Kane, what's going on?
Hi. Yeah, I just want to say, yes, Boyle did look good tonight, but compared to Kaiser, I just think he got a lot help from the running game. I think that back ran really well tonight. I think that really helped Boyle's game out a lot tonight. And it just seems like he got a lot better pass protection, probably because of the run game, probably because that back ran a lot better.
Yeah.
So I'm not really ready to say that he just – I mean, he probably got solidified that position, but I'm not really – ready to say that he just flat out, you know, outplay Kaiser.
Right.
But I just think he got a lot more help than Kaiser.
But he looks
under pressure the whole
Kane,
time.
But he looks better than Kaiser though. I just can keep it straight 100. He just does. Don't you think?
Yeah, but he did look good. I mean, he threw some really, really good balls. So I was impressed with him.
Yeah, he just looks better, Bill. Thanks for your phone call. Hey, he just looks better than me. I mean, I don't know
right.
what you guys see, but
no,
Boyle looks like a better football player.
We said this after game one.
What'd you say?
We had Mike Clemens on too, and Mike said that DeShon Kizer's got the athleticism, but Boyle just looks better in the pocket. There's just some guys just have an it factor.
Boyle even looks to have better athleticism.
Yeah. Well, do you think so?
Well, he looks like that. I mean, the way
I think DeShon Kizer's better speed.
He can flick the ball.
I agree with.
Golly, man, this guy's. Not saying he's, you know, I'm not saying he's Matt Flynn, but he's pretty good.
Matthew tweets us at @Bill_Michaels and @Gary Ellerson says, what a joke of a game. Scoreboard operator couldn't keep time or the number of timeouts correct. Officials were confused. Bad turf conditions. Three Packers get hurt. 80-yard field. No kickoffs. You'd think after 100 years, the NFL would have its act together. Invented another way to screw the Packers over. Look, if this was a regular season game, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is, yes, I agree, they did a terrible job with this game, but thank God it doesn't, in the grand scheme of things, mean much, except for the guys that did get hurt,
right.
because this
That's
game
it.
This game cost them and could have cost them dearly. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. Packers did take it on the chin. They get beat 22-21, the final in Winnipeg, Canada. The Raiders come in. Carson drives a 33-yard field goal through the uprights with 12 seconds to go in the ballgame, and that was the difference. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. We got more of the Uptown Motors Green and Gold postgame show right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Everybody
had a hand in this one.
Rodgers throws for the touchdown.
But someone had the best hands of the game.
Brought to you by the North Central States Carpenters. Build your career and build your life. Go to getbetterwages.org.
Welcome back. Packers beaten by the Oakland Raiders 22-21 in the, I don't want to say meaningless game, because there's guys out there trying to earn a job, earn a spot on an NFL roster. It's not meaningless to them. But the ultimate score, somewhat meaningless. Raiders with a 33-yard field goal with 12 seconds to go in the ballgame. That became the difference. Time now for the best hands of the game, brought to you by the North Central States Carpenters. And I'll tell you what, Shepard made a ridiculous catch.
Tonyan is a tight end on this one and out in a pattern, and here's the throw, and oh, Shepard hauls it in, but may have been out of bounds.
I think he's in.
They say they got him. Catch at the 36, a 22-yard spectacular completion to Darius Shepard.
There you go. That is the best hands of the game, brought to you by the North Central States Carpenters. Build your career and build your life. Go to bettergetwages.org. That's go to getbetterwages.org. That's getbetterwages.org. That's brought to you by, again, the North Central States Carpenters. Hey, just an update on Equanimeous St. Brown. Getting a lot of feed on Twitter and watching it again. Dislocated ankle is what's being stated by many. Not one specific source. Nobody's confirming anything, but a lot of rumors by people that you pay attention to that are saying dislocated ankle for Equanimeous St. Brown. So we'll wait and see, but the ankle got twisted up pretty good. Now, you're hoping it's something like Tony Finau, who jumped in the air, dislocated his ankle, popped it back in place, and kept playing.
Did you
know?
See that when Finau did that?
Yeah, back in the Masters.
Was that a par three? I think he was
on.
When
he hit a hole in one on the par three and was celebrating and snapped his ankle.
That's very unathletic, Bill.
Yeah. So
hopefully it's not.
But they're saying possible dislocation of the ankle, and if that's the case, that's usually surgery.
Well, right. So you're right. It's all depends on the severity of it, right? You're right about that. So what it turns into is just you ruptured all the tendons around it. But they may feel like they've got enough receivers that they, because they were heavy at that spot anyway.
Right.
So they may feel like they got enough receivers where they can overcome that. So now, you know, Trevor Davis now becomes a shoe-in.
Right.
Automatically.
Lazard, probably a shoe-in.
He's a shoe-in.
Now it's between Darius Shepard and Jamon Moore to be your seventh guy.
So you're okay. I mean, I think if they're going to have to take a hit somewhere.
I just liked him because he's kind of a poor man's Donald Driver.
Right. Well, not even that, but he was a big target.
Big target, big wingspan, big hands.
You can
possession guy.
He can play slot. He can play outside. I mean, I think you can do a lot with him. But if you were going to suffer an injury at a spot, that was the one.
Right, no doubt.
Yeah.
Let's go to, was this Kenny. Kenny listening to us. Give us a shout, Kenny. What's going on, man? What are you thinking?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
First of all, I think Moore is out. Jamon Moore, he's gone.
Well, he just got back in.
Well, he might have gotten in if Equanimeous St. Brown's ankle is that bad.
Yeah, but Trayvon Moore, I mean, but
No, he did, dog.
Because of Trevor Davis.
Yeah.
I like what Trevor Davis did tonight. He showed up. He's been battling an injury. The problem with Trevor Davis is not his speed. It's the fact that he hasn't been available over the years.
And that's the problem. He hasn't been healthy. But let me ask you this. What do you think are top four receivers right now?
Davante Adams, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Cenk Kumerow, and Geronimo Allison.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Now, also, let me ask you this. Do you think that the backup quarterback, the backup quarterback, has that been solidified yet?
Yeah,
I think tonight it was.
Boyle. Yeah, tonight.
Yeah.
Who do you think it is?
Boyle.
Boyle.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah, he did play pretty good.
He played well against the Texans, too. He stood, and now in the game last week against the Ravens, nobody shined. So I agree with you, but the guy that's played better in three games overall has been Tim Boyle.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I agree with you. Guys, I'm just going to listen to you. I listen to you all the time. Gary Ellison, you are the man. I've been watching you for years. I watched you play. Thank you very much for your service. I'm good with you, man.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What you drinking on tonight?
Ciroc.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
There you go. You're the man.
There it is.
There you go. There you go.
You like that.
There you go. That's what's happening. Kenny, you the man. Call anytime. Little less Ciroc on the next call, but you the man.
That's Ciroc. Is that
I dated Jay-Z? Her back in 79.
Is that Jay-Z stuff? What's that Ciroc is, cuz? Is that Jay-Z P. Diddy? P. Diddy.
P. Diddy.
Is he
P. Ciroc? Diddy, yeah.
Yeah, it's P. Diddy, yeah.
You dated P. Diddy's daughter or something?
No, Ciroc.
You know P. Diddy supposedly is dating the comedian's daughter.
Caliendo?
No, he's got the TV show with the...
Tim Allen?
No, he's got the Family Feud show.
Steve Harvey?
P. Diddy is dating
his daughter.
Steve Harvey's daughter.
Thanksgiving right
who
there,
dated P. Diddy's son. She broke up with P. Diddy's son, and now she's dating P. Diddy.
Oh, this is like when and Cleveland Cavaliers were dating LeBron's
and
mom.
And she's only like 25 or 24, Bill.
That's how we looking. We got more of the Green and Gold postgame show coming
Sean
up right
Puffy.
After this.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. The Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. This is the Uptown Motors Green and Gold Postgame Show. Uptown begins with you, the official auto dealership of Leroy Butler. Go to UptownMotors.com. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Packers get knocked off in game three of the preseason. 22-21, Carlson hits a 33-yard field goal with 8 seconds to go in the game, 12 seconds when the play clock, when the thing was snapped, and that's the final. But, and by the way, in front of a whopping crowd of just under 22,000 people. Which is not bad, considering it was only pacing for 9,000 right. originally.
Originally, right?
But nonetheless, that's the way things ended up. Here's something interesting, and Gary, I get this all the time, and I'm sure you do too. So AJ tweeted us and says, hey, Bill, when was the last time you actually walked into a Packers season not having a clue on how good or bad the team can be? He said, this preseason has shown me absolutely nothing. They could win 5 games or go 10 games. I'm not sure. I hope Shepard and Lazard make the squad. I think they're the real deal.
Totally right.
My response to this, and this is the way I've been telling everybody. As a matter of fact, I was getting my car worked on today, and I walked in, and the guys said, you know, hey, what about them Packers? My response to them was the same as I'm telling everybody. I think there's some there. I think the defense is better. The offense hasn't really changed personnel, so if it indeed was scheme, I can see them being 8-8, 9-7, 7-9. If they get a little lucky, stay really healthy, and the defense is better than expected, 10-6, maybe a postseason appearance. But I'm not banking on much more than that. And when was the last time we walked into a Packers season and said Super Bowl or non-bust? Because this is not a Super Bowl squad, at least in my opinion.
Well, I think... I saw a poll somewhere, Bill, where they did a poll, and it was about whether if the Packers made it to the playoffs or didn't make it to the playoffs, would the season be unsuccessful? And I think over 90% of people agree that it will be unsuccessful. I think a lot of Packer fans are looking for this team to make the playoffs next year. At best, very, very best, and that's everything going right, this is a 9-7 team. If they win more, I'm really thinking 8-8, but if they win more than 9 games, that means that Aaron Rodgers is playing lights out. That means that Aaron Jones didn't get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That means that Rashard Gary probably has 8 or 9 sacks in order for all that, in order for them to get more than 9 wins.
Who's your sack specialist on defense?
Thank you.
Don't know. Dean Lowry?
Don't know. You don't know.
With the season he had last year?
You don't know. Facker had 10.5. But you don't know. You don't know.
Fackrell, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and I hate to call my coworkers out, but I work with a guy who's printing up the Revenge Tour t-shirts for Aaron Rodgers. That, you know, he's gonna come back and he's gonna have this crazy year. And
I think
you can say that if you want to, but Bill, this Joker doesn't play in the next preseason game, which means you hadn't seen him all. The only reps I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers,
right?
Joker. The only reps he's gotten is in practice, and you're going to throw him out there day one, Thursday night, against the Chicago Bears and Khalil Mack and them. Woo! And you don't know the offense. And now you already in family night, allegedly calling plays from McCarthy to get into an audible that you can't get into because you don't know the offense because the whole offense ain't in.
Right.
I'm just saying, Joe.
No, that's reality. That's the keeping it 100. The thought is, and I've said this time and again, there's two things that this offense has going for it. One is, if it indeed is the scheme, and Mike McCarthy's scheme was old, stale, they couldn't get it done, they didn't have the personnel, and the scheme does scheme guys open. That's the one thing. If. The second thing is, and I agree that, look, Aaron Rodgers, we can all agree that there was a lot of shots taken at Green Bay at 1265 at Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy, you know, Ted Thompson and Mark Murphy. Okay, there was a lot of shots taken. But we all know how Aaron Rodgers stacks that criticism and uses it as a chip on his shoulder to basically put the middle finger to everybody in his very, you know, uppity way when he goes home and has a scotch at night and drinks it with, instead of his pinky,
like
out his middle finger.
Can I just say that I can't drink
Ciroc? Scotch. There you go.
Well, Ciroc is not scotch.
I know that. Ciroc is, you're a Ciroc guy. So
I like bourbon.
Bourbon with a good gar is nice.
There you go.
So I agree that this could be the revenge tour, but for them to make the postseason, it would have to be the so far head and shoulders above anything MVP type of performance revenge tour.
Yes.
You know, and he would really, in my opinion, he would really have to buy into the run game.
Let me ask you this. Have you guys had Ben Fennell on your show?
No.
Call him, Joe. Get him on your show. Get Ben. I mean, he is absolutely incredible. Get Ben Fennell on your show if you can, and he lays it all out for you with Aaron Rodgers and how, because in this new offense with Matt LaFleur, there's no need to go off on your own, because everything that LaFleur do, he has a built-in solution.
Mm-hmm. There's no need to go rogue.
No
need
to go rogue.
And the only reason you would go rogue is if you believe that they figured out your solutions.
That works.
Yeah, or you believe it's not going to work, right?
Right, if you do, it doesn't work. Because everything he has is everything that Matt LaFleur has within his offense is built off a certain play, is built off something. So if he sees you jump in this, then he's got something to get to that. But he's got to see it first,
mm-hmm,
in order to know what to call the next time.
Right.
So that means that Roger has to trust the busted play or the play that doesn't work in order to take advantage of what they – does this make sense? No, what
I
the
get
defense
it.
Is
yeah,
doing to
I get you.
You.
No, I completely get it.
But if
I,
he goes rogue,
you look at what Shanahan's done in the past. You look at the way that offense is set up, you know, and again, I'm talking about this thing is predicated via the run.
It's predicated via the run. Everything looks the same, and all plays are derived from those plays.
By the way, again, getting this confirmation, this is Rob Domofsky from ESPN. He said no post-game injury report from Matt LaFleur, which...
Well, that's never good news.
That's never good news. But Rashawn Gary, undisclosed injury, but his agent tweeted out that, quote, he is fine and doing well.
Package is not like that.
Equanimeous St. Brown, it is a, quote, left leg slash ankle injury, and he left doing, you know, via the crutches. So now we're on wait and see mode. If indeed it's serious to the point that, you know, he needs surgery,
right,
or what it happens to be. But that's kind of where it is right now. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, please feel free to do so. Again, reiterating, Aaron Rodgers making his own news, and he didn't play tonight, but that was part of it, saying, quote, him not playing has nothing to do with his sore back. It's more the field conditions that we had tonight. That's the reason he did not play. So, again, that's the reason he did not play, according to Aaron Rodgers. Now, Matt LaFleur, different, because he said the field is a, quote, non-issue. So, yet again,
there you go.
We have a difference of opinion or a difference of truth, if you will, between Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. But I think Matt LaFleur's just saying, don't worry about it, no big deal.
Right.
And Aaron's like, well, here's the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew the field was going to stink, and sure enough, it ended up stinking. So, mm-hmm. there you go.
About what? Why I'm not playing? It's nothing to do with the back, I can promise you that. It's more the field conditions that we had tonight.
There you go. That's it. That's from Aaron Rodgers. Packers take it on the chin, 22-21. That was the final. We're taking your phone calls, tweets, emails, you name it. Bring it. We want to get your reaction tonight to the third game of the preseason. Give us who has separated themselves from the rest of the pack. Are you a little bit nervous? Do you think they're too thin at one particular position? A lot of assessment with this team. That is all coming up. It's the Uptown Motors Green and Gold Postgame Show. I'm Bill Michaels. He's Gary Ellison. We'll be back after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Ball 3rd and 7 on the 16-yard line of the Raiders. Boyle to the end zone, caught for a touchdown. Camaro got him. We're done, Nick Nelson. Boyle has thrown another touchdown pass for Green.
The Packers television and network, the 16-yard strike right there. Ultimately, though, Packers just couldn't hang on. 22-21. That was the final. Welcome to the Uptown Motors Green and Gold Postgame Show. I'm Bill Michaels alongside Gary Ellerson. You want to hit us up? Easy to do so. 855-830-8648. That's 855-830-8648. You can find Gary on Twitter at Gary Ellerson. You can find me at Bill_Michaels. The way to get a hold of us. Matt LaFleur, by the way, brief. Really weird. No podium.
They get
no...
weird when people get hurt. They don't want to answer questions.
Yeah, they don't want to answer questions. Just really, they didn't have like a formal podium for him to go and take questions. It was a brief media tete-a-tete after the fact. Very brief, as a matter of fact. So from the Packers television network, Matt LaFleur, his press conference, if you want to call it that, brought to you by Pick and Save, your local Pick and Save stores. Always appreciate them, the Pick and Saves. Love going to them, love hanging out there. As a matter of fact, here's Matt LaFleur.
Well, it was a combination of a lot of things that I really don't want to get into right now. And so it is what it is. You know, they weren't playing their guys, and I just don't want to put our guys at risk.
Any other of your team?
None right now. Yeah, I really haven't put too much thought in it. It was one of those deals when you're in the game, you're trying to call the game, and like I said, it was the same for both sides. So I really was insignificant in my mind.
And that was it. Apologize for the bad sound quality for the questions being asked, but No formal podium, no nothing really. He just basically said, hey, look, they didn't play their starters. We're not going to play ours. That was kind of it.
They knew what was going on.
Yeah. Just that was it.
Right.
He didn't want to talk about it, didn't want to answer, didn't want to talk about any, didn't want to talk about injuries.
Mm-mm.
You know, so.
Shut it down.
Not a lot of there. Again, no. It's brought to you by our friends at Pick and Save, who bring you the brief comments of one Matt LaFleur. So there you go. That was it.
Yeah.
So now what, Gary? I mean, you know, when you look forward to this fourth game, this is for guys that are on the bubble.
Right.
Some guys is just another chance to make a name for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to see starters. You know, you're not. This is the damnedest preseason I can remember in a long time. It just
right,
is.
Right? It is. It is.
I'll tell you this. If they come out and lay an egg in Chicago, oh, Katie bar the door.
Well, I mean, it should be. Right? I mean, I think it should be. And here's why. We always talk about the Packers getting off to a slow start or Aaron Rodgers getting off to a slow start. Well, here we go.
Yeah.
It's just straight up craziness. And so you're right. I mean, you can't play. I mean, you just can't play Rodgers. I mean, you can, but maybe it's one series, four plays. I don't know what it is, but I don't know if you can safely run him out there. Now, it's going to be at Lambeau Field. We'll be there. So, I mean, that's a good thing about that. But I just don't get it. I mean, it's just been a crazy preseason. I mean, I just, you're right. Now what is that you go and play your second line players and you just evaluate the talent and then you really find out who is your backup quarterback's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where you're at. Then you find out what you got in Josh Jones, and you find out what you got in Josh Jackson.
Right.
You look at you find out whether how many linebackers you want to keep. Have we seen Mercedes Lewis at all?
No.
Have we?
Nope.
Figure out what you got there. I mean, so you still have some things that you need to answer.
Mm-hmm. That's just it. There's just, I can't believe, I know practice, the old adage is Wednesday through Friday get you to Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I understand that. But you tell me, as a guy that's been on the field, and look, we've all hit the same guys. We've all hit guys over and over and over again in our own camp.
Yes.
There is nothing you can do to mimic what you're about to feel when it goes real.
And especially against the Bears, and the Bears are predicated on defense and what they do. And Bill, I just don't know. You don't even know the offense. I mean, well, I'm assuming I'm talking about Rodgers, whether he knows the whole offense and knows what to do. I guess, you know, you can say offense is offense is offense, but this is completely different than he's ever ran before.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I don't want to hear, Bill. And maybe, Joe, you guys can. I don't want to hear in week number three we're not on the same page. We're not on the same page. He's zigged when he should have zagged. We're getting to know the offense. We're trying to get up to speed. And listen, now you're in what we call the second quarter of the season. So you're 1-5 coming into the second quarter of the season. That's not gonna get it.
The comment from Brian Gutekunst, when asked about where he thought the offense was, and then he goes on to say, well, usually, you know, in cases like this, it's, you know, before it really gets going, it's like a half a season. And I went, wait, what? If you start out a half a season faltering and relying on your defense.
Well, there's other teams going to be out in front of you.
And if you're already building an excuse
gone.
To say, well, it's a half a season before it gets going, that's just it. The Bears and the Vikings are going to be gone. I agree with that.
Unless you think that Trubisky is going to have a really bad season, but, you know, you can dial Trubisky back, and you can say, all right, we're just going to win it with our defense. And they can do. The Bears are capable of doing that. And Matt Nagy finds out who Matt Nagy really is, and Matt goes, oh, okay, we're not going to be sprinting. I don't have Mahomes. Here's how we're going to win. Go do a defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's smart enough to do that.
I am, you know, man. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You want to chime in, feel free to go ahead and do so. This is from Luke, who tweets us, at @Bill_Michael, says, thoughts on Rashawn Gary. I've been called a typical Packers fan for my criticism of his game performance thus far. I see it as honest criticism. The fact that tonight he had one tackle, and that's the only tackle he has had so far this preseason.
Well, he's had one before, but it was called back.
Yeah, I don't think you're – I mean, I saw him in game one play with an energy early on, and then I saw him jogging after plays or stopping on plays, and then I saw him kind of dogging. And I thought, well, maybe the guy just got tired, you know. It's preseason. I don't know. Maybe he's getting his wind
under him.
Well, he's
played the most snaps out of anybody on the defensive side of football. What, matter of fact, he's played more snaps than anybody on offense or defense.
So,
which he needs to.
Yeah. I mean, they're depending. Put it this way. If he's a guy that you, as they had said, well, you know, even a first-round draft choice, it takes a while. And it's almost like, God, every time I hear between Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst speak, you're making an excuse for failure.
Let me ask you this. Rashawn Gary next year, what's the sack total would be a successful first
successful year,
year
for him?
First year, rookie. What's your number on that sack total?
Four.
Four? That would be successful?
Three or four.
That would be successful?
Successful if he is consistently getting push.
The 12th pick.
Yes.
The 12th pick.
Considering that he didn't have any more than that at Michigan.
I understand that.
But
the 12th pick, what will be a – now, I'm going to throw this little nugget out there for you. Clay Matthews, 22nd, 26th, whatever, somewhere in there. I think he had 9 to 10 sacks maybe his rookie year.
Different motor, different cat.
I don't care.
I completely understand what you. I'm talking realistically.
Oh.
Because when
you're already saying he's not worthy of the 12th pick.
No.
That's what you're saying.
I didn't like it when you and I were sitting next to each other and they took Rashawn Gary, and I said they took a guy, they're going to try to make him a sack master who's never been one.
No. Yeah, so that's what you're saying.
That's like
you're saying he's not worthy. I'm going to tell you this, Bill. And
that's like you coming into the league and looking at
if he has the career of AJ Hawk, it is a failure.
Correct.
Now, A.J. Hawk
now,
was 5.
If he has 4 sacks and that's all he has, it's a failure. If he comes in and has numerous tackles, pressures, he's driving guys back, cutting off cutback lanes, flushing quarterbacks, he's got 4 sacks, that's a good season. But if he has 4 sacks and he's nothing more than 4 sacks because he fell on 4 guys, then it's craptastic.
What you got, Joe?
Clay had 10 sacks his rookie year, 13.5 his second year.
Yeah.
Only 6, though, in 2011, he played 15 games that year.
Right.
Now, mind you, Clay.
But he was also nursing a hamstring that
year. Played safety in college. They moved him down later to outside back. I think his last year, but he came in as a safety.
But that would be like you being a running back your entire career, and then suddenly you're a fullback.
And I did that.
In the NFL?
Yeah, my first year in Green Bay, where I came as a receiver, and they moved me to fullback.
Right.
And then the next year, they moved me to tailback. And then I went to Green Bay, they moved me back to fullback. And then the next year, they moved me back to tailback.
But my point is if you come in as a fullback and you're nothing more than a blocking back, you're not going to pick up 800 yards.
No, let me just say, if you are a outside pass rusher, go get the quarterback, because.
Correct. That's what you're supposed to do. Do we really expect Rashawn Gary to give us 9 sacks?
Well, no, because you say no because you didn't expect for him to go to anywhere.
I didn't expect him to be an outside backer.
So there you go.
No, I didn't like the pick to begin with.
Right. So that's what you're saying, which is fine.
But we kept saying this guy's athletic, he's big, but that's exactly right.
No production.
And that's because Michigan, he was so good, he was taking on 3 blockers.
Because
and 4
I think
blockers.
Winovich. Can you look at Winovich's sack totals already in preseason 4? I think he's with the Patriots. I think Winovich has already got like 2 sacks already, maybe in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy opposite of Rashawn Gary, who they were saying that the reason why Winovich was playing so great is because Rashawn Gary, and that's why that Devin Bush kid, that's why he went before these guys, because he made it easier for Bush and Winovich to shine. That's why those two guys went in front of him.
So apparently it got a little testier after Matt LaFleur was walking away from the podium. He was, quote, questioned, did the field impact your roster decisions? LaFleur, the 80-yard field, it did not impact it at all. The question, problem in the end zones, did that affect your roster decisions? LaFleur, no, because we don't play in the end zones. Question, why didn't you play your starters then? LaFleur, because we didn't feel like that was something I wanted to do. Question, because? Because I didn't want to do it. And walked away.
Yeah. Hey, well, he knew. Well, Rodgers told you why.
Yeah.
Rodgers already told. And I knew that going into the game that they weren't going to play these guys. I mean, they got and saw the field, and I don't disagree with what they did at all.
No.
But then just be forthcoming with the information.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're trying to hide. Well,
LaFleur is already getting testy with the media. They're getting testy with him.
But see, Bill, and he, not that he's getting testy, he's protecting the shield. Right. He has to. That's his job. He's not going to go against Roger Goodell and them saying we should not have been here. These guys should not have played. Reason why I'm not playing my guys because this field was horse crap. He can't say that.
Mm-hmm.
He just can't. Now, Aaron Rodgers can, but he can't. I mean, real talk now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the media want him to do, but he can't come out and blast that stadium or that field. Just can't. PR-wise, be a nightmare.
Yeah.
He get a phone call in New York minute.
855-830-8648. We continue on. Packers lose tonight 22-21. They go to 1-2 on the preseason, getting ready for Kansas City a week from tonight. Stay tuned. More of the Uptown Motors Green and Gold postgame show next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The final Winnipeg at Canada. I'm Bill Michaels. Gary Ellerson alongside.
I'm here.
It's the Uptown Motors Green and Gold postgame show. Packers fall in their third preseason game, one remaining. It doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers is going to play in that one upcoming either. You're going to hear the back and forth. Matt LaFleur, now it was reported because Matt LaFleur kind of got into it a little bit testy with the media, and then was reported that he was walking away. Maybe he ended up coming back to the podium because he did finish more of a presser. You're going to hear it in its entirety coming up here shortly, so hang in there for that. But some good stuff from Matt LaFleur. He just, boy, you talk about a guy as a rookie quarterback trying to learn how to dodge what he says. Interesting back and forth between him and the media. So you're going to hear that. You're going to want to hear it coming up. Gary,
yes.
No, we're hearing part of it, okay, and we're looking forward to playing it. But I really was impressed with the head coach after game one.
Yeah.
Especially when he was asked about Aaron Rodgers in the comments, and he said, look, it's not just about Aaron, it's about the other 10 guys who are out there, basically putting a stamp on it saying, this is what we need to do, and this is what we're going to do.
Right.
So game two, a little more adversity, took a few things where he had to, you know, kind of be careful with what he said. Tonight, he sounds like he's fumbling for words.
Well, because he's the one throw the NFL on the bus. So he's protecting his employer. I mean, that's what you got going on there.
Let's take a listen to the back and forth between the head coach and the media as they caught up with him a little deeper into the bowels of that, you know, stadium.
Conversation like there, and how are you feeling about how things played out?
Yeah, it is what it is, and it was the same for both teams, and we made the adjustments that we felt were in the best interest of our football team, and we move forward.
Was the plan for Aaron to play before the turf conditions became an issue?
Well, we were going to have all our starters play, and just it was just one of those deals. I didn't think it was. We certainly have all played on much worse surfaces in our life, but it was just one of those deals where they weren't playing their starters, and so we just decided to sit them.
How much input did you guys have as a team in the decision? Was that entirely enough?
You know, I pretty much stayed out of that, so I just was focused on trying to get our football team ready to play.
Well, what is the concern?
Yeah, you know what? I can't even get into it because I stayed out of all those conversations. I said, hey, just let us know what we're doing, and we'll adjust.
I'm sure you wanted to see the starters, so without them playing, do you feel like that sets you back? Did you need to see them tonight for week one?
No, I feel confident in our preparation, and, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and I know we're going to get second-guessed every which way, but I'm not too worried about it. I'm concerned about how we go about our business and the mindset in that locker room, and I feel, you know, I think our guys are confident.
Well, Trevor comes back to practice, has a great game today. How would you kind of assess how he played tonight?
Yeah, I was really excited for him. It seemed like every time we made a play, he was the guy making the play. So I thought it was, you know, it was pretty good performance by him. Again, we'll go back and take a look at it. I'm sure there's some stuff he needs to clean up, but all in all, I was happy.
How was the tackling overall this week?
I thought it was much improved. You know, we had too many missed tackles in the first half, but I didn't see too many missed tackles in the second half. So I thought it was much improved.
What did you think of that second quarter by Tim Boyle?
Yeah, Tim played well. You know, we moved the ball. We had three straight drives that ended in touchdowns, and anytime you're doing that, you're doing something right. So I thought, all in all, he played well, and I thought he also got support from the guys around him.
What was the thinking to switch him and Deshaun up starting at inconvenient second?
I just wanted to see a little bit more of Tim tonight, and, you know, against – we just wanted him earlier in the game, so that's why we went with that.
What did you think of the 80-yard field, and how quirky or interesting was that?
It was definitely different. It was definitely different, but, hey, it was the same conditions for both sides, and you just deal with it.
So how did that affect your roster decisions then?
The 80-yard field did not impact it at all.
The problems in the end zone, did that affect your roster decisions?
No, because we didn't play in the end zone. So
why didn't you play your starters?
Because we didn't feel like that was something I wanted to do.
Because
I didn't want to do it.
No reason.
Other than that, I didn't want to do it.
Was the atmosphere in the facility otherwise?
I thought the atmosphere was great. I thought the fans were great, and it was a good football game.
I know
so
the end.
It wasn't the field that led you to hold the start that you were going to do.
Well, it was a combination of a lot of things that I really don't want to get into right now, and so it is what it is. You know, they weren't playing their guys, and I just don't want to put our guys at risk.
Any
updates? None right now.
Matt, when you look at the kickoff rule, I know they've tried to make it safer, and this is a rare opportunity to see what a game's like without kickoffs. Did you like it? Did you not like it? Should they consider such things?
Yeah, I really haven't put too much thought in it. It was one of those deals when you're in the game, you're trying to call the game, and like I said, it was the same for both sides, so it really was insignificant in my mind.
Does it feel conditions kind of lessen the value of this game for your team?
Not at all. I thought there was a lot of good quality football out there, and the beauty of this was we got a chance to really evaluate some of the guys that may not have gotten the amount of time that we needed to get evaluations on.
How challenging is the evaluation of some of your skill position players when Oakland's not using their starters necessarily? Is that difficult or not?
No, I mean, it was the same for both sides. So,
but in terms of your guys you're trying to see and they're going against some of their backups, is it difficult to evaluate them that way as opposed to number one defense?
No, I mean, you're still going out there and you're playing football. So no matter who's out there, we're just going to give our best effort. And it's more about us and less about them.
I know we asked you other weeks if Aaron didn't play this week, any chance for next week? What's the thought process on next week and Aaron?
Yeah, I have given no thought to that right now.
How do you feel physically now that you've moved out of the boot and walked around?
I feel great. You know, so I'm happy to be out of the boot, and but more concerned about our football team than my Achilles.
Any updates on St. Brown?
No, we're not going to get into that.
Thank you. So.
Yeah, cut him off. Thank you.
That's it.
Get him out.
St. Brown.
No,
at least Mike would say, we're evaluating, I don't know.
Well, because he's not there yet.
You know? That'll be all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just, do you not just hate Red China or what?
Thank you.
We're
done.
Preseason week.
Yeah.
Andy Reid's going to get information.
What? Yeah, Matt Nagy probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Shut it down.
Thank you. They're not really thanking you. Instead of saying thank you, which is more of a condescending way of saying get the hell out, why don't you just say, that's it, get the hell out.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
We're done.
Talk to you later.
See you later, Mike Clemens.
Yeah. Aw, damn it. You hear Mike walking out of there now.
Yeah. No, we're not going to get into that.
No, we're not going to get into that. The players are players, and ones that are walking around in crutches, they're players.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Save him, Jason.
You're welcome. 22-21, we are appreciating the privilege of covering the team. Thank you very much. That's the way things ended. Oakland Raiders get a win. I'm Bill Michaels, Gary Ellison alongside. We got another segment coming up, but thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Thank you.
That's the final. Not in the good side of things for the Green Bay Packers, but after next week, the slate goes back to zero, so it is what it is. Yeah. From Manitoba, Winnipeg, Canada. Packers fall to the Oakland Raiders. I'm Bill Michaels, Gary Ellison alongside. Taking your calls, your emails, your tweets, your reaction as the game started out. I mean, before the teams even really took the field, the controversy had already begun as to whether or not to even play the game because of the field conditions. And then you move on from there, and then they make it an 80-yard field and awkwardness to it. And I don't know why they made it 80 yards.
Because they didn't want to get in the end zone.
Right, but they still had to go into one end zone. Was the hole in one end zone that much worse than the other one?
Yeah, that's what it appeared, yeah.
So...
I want to give a big shout out because we've been talking to J.K. Scott.
Oh, he's been kicking the ball really
once
well.
Again.
Yeah. Now, didn't he went to a camp or something like that in the offseason.
The Packers took a lot of crap.
For picking him.
From picking him. And I think he's now settling in a little bit.
Well, let me ask you this. Because they also took a lot of crap for going after Hunter Bradley.
Yeah.
Drafting a long snapper.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, they drafted J.K. Scott with a fifth pick.
Right.
And then they drafted Hunter Bradley with the seventh pick. Two special teams guys when you were in need of so many other things. Here's the question. Is it worth it? Well, has it been worth it?
What? As of last year, no. But this preseason, I think you can start seeing J.K. Scott paying dividends.
Well, you hope.
I mean, so far you have. I mean, that
J.K. Scott now, would you agree, he's punting like he did at Alabama?
Yeah, he is. This preseason.
Because at Alabama, he was a guy that tipped a field.
Yeah. Yeah. This preseason he has. But last year was just a horrible year.
Yeah.
Maybe it took him time to get used to everything. I mean, I get that. But he's playing lights out right now.
855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. So, by the way, Ficken comes in, hits the extra point. Crosby gets an extra point. And then you had, let's see... That was it. Was that it?
Yeah, I think so.
Carlson gets the kick. That was for the Raiders. Packers.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
That was it.
There you have it. No, Trevor Davis. Mason Crosby had the other extra point. I forgot about the Trevor Davis. So Mason Crosby with a couple of kicks through the upright, Ficken with one, and that was the only opportunity to say... If you're going for any kind of money, which I can't imagine they're going to just need the $2 or $3 million that Mason Crosby's making, then I guess you make the move.
Right.
But you're not cutting Mason Crosby it's basically been a dead heat.
Because you know what's going to happen.
The Bears are going to pick up Ficken.
Either one.
Yeah.
That's what's going on there.
9 kickers they have in camp. That is a whole pile of kickers right there.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of pile of kickers.
And has Matt Nagy lost his mind?
Yes.
Is he getting goofy now?
Yeah. They all do.
He getting drunk with power and success?
They all do.
Can we still look at the Bears, even though they have that defense that's so good? Do we still look at the Bears at the top notch when things get a little crazy?
Still look at them, Bill.
Well, I look at them, but can we look at them as the top team?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I picked them to win the division, but there's something in my gut telling me this might be the one step back before another step forward. But that doesn't usually happen in the NFL too often.
No, it doesn't, but I don't think so. I think they're good. I think they'll be there, and as long as they have Khalil Mack, they'll be there. Now, if he goes down, that's a different story.
Right.
But Khalil, this is my addendum to this. If Khalil Mack is playing, they're good to go. I mean, these guys, defensively, they're just, they're not the old Bears of old, but this is probably the best defense they've had in a long time. They got a lot of high draft picks on that defense.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Was that, is that Roquan still there? Roquan Smith.
Roquan Smith, who had a hell of a season last year, yeah.
Then they took another defensive lineman, I think, pass rusher from Georgia as well, I believe. I get his name. Floyd? Is his name Floyd?
Leonard Floyd.
Leonard Floyd, yeah.
Was he from Georgia as well? I believe so. Yeah, so they've got a couple guys in it. The nose tackle they got down in there is pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Eddie Goldman?
Yeah.
Eddie Goldman's got some hops to it.
They got, you know, and they got Ha-Ha Clint Dix in his secondary. Right there. Yeah.
There's their Achilles heel.
Oh. Don't tell the Bear fans.
Thank you.
Yeah. Leonard Floyd is from Georgia, by the way.
Yeah.
By the way, when you talk about Khalil Mack, will he go down? As some Packers fans, as you alluded to, if he goes down, then, you know, all is lost. He did a couple of games last year not play in a few. He had 14 games total, 13 as a starter. But in his entire career, prior to that, he has never missed a game.
Yeah.
So the likelihood of Khalil Mack going down.
Well, he's out of shape last year, too, when he came in. So he'll have a whole training camp underneath his belt.
Yep. So there you have it.
There you have it.
If you want to chime in real quick, go ahead and do so. We got about a minute or so left before we have to get out of here. Real quick.
Well,
this is PETA who says, thanks. It's hindsight, but if I were the general manager, the following players would have been Packers. Travis Kelce over Eddie Lacy. TJ Watt over trading down for Kevin King, which Kevin King could still pan out if he stays healthy. He's a hell of a defender. Yep. He just got to stay healthy. Yep. Derwin James over trading down for Jaire Alexander, though he's comparable. And Jaire Alexander had a hell of a season last year. And, of course, Burns over Rashawn Gary. And Burns being a kid in Carolina right now who's got four sacks in a preseason. Rashawn Gary.
Boy, they're not looking for production from him.
No, I know. I know. So, no, I can argue with Jaire Alexander maybe because he's been really good. Kevin King, if he stays healthy, he can be really good. But so far, the other ones, I'm not wholly disagreeing with you. This is from Jeb. Jeb says, when it comes to cutdown day, Gary, who do you think the running backs are going to be? Do they keep three or four or three running backs and two fullbacks? What do you think they do?
Both the Williams guys, Aaron Jones and is it Vitale?
Danny Vitale.
Yeah, that's your four.
Yeah, that's your four right there.
And then now they go, depending on what happens to St. Brown, and that brings Jamon Moore back into the picture, I believe, to make this team. I think you go there. Tight end, I haven't seen Mercedes Lewis at all this preseason.
By the way, John Gruden said after the game, quote, and we're going to see this on Hard Knocks, I'm not going to make a big deal about the field. We like the field. We thought the field was perfect and ready to roll. You'd have to go ask Green Bay about their thoughts.
Right, see, they know.
Yeah.
John ain't handsome anyway.
Yeah.
And John says what he wants to say almost all the time.
Yeah.
They're not going against the NFL. So just if people want to get a little sore about LaFleur being a little goofy, and he was, but they can't go against the NFL. They just can't.
There you go. We've got one more before it's all for real in Chicago. So one more time. I can't even say this. Before a crowd of 21,992. It was the Oakland Raiders 22. And the Green Bay Packers 21. Time for us to go. Have a go and sweep.
Thank you.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.